Father, we thank you this morning. We thank you that you're a great God. And I ask now, God, that you would bless our time in the Word that's coming up. Father, thank you that you would open up our hearts and our minds to hear a word from you, God. We don't just want another message. We don't want to just spend another 30 minutes listening to someone. We want a word from you, God. And so we pray and we declare that our heart is receptive. We are expecting to receive a word from you, something that will draw us closer to you, God. There are people here who are hurting, God, and you know that. There are people here who are confused and stressed. There are some that are just afraid. Father, we thank you that your word will provide the strength that we need to go on, to fulfill the destiny that you have for us. I ask that you would stand in this my body. I ask that you would think with my mind, speak with my tongue, say to us in this house those things that you would have us know. In Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. You may be seated in the house of the Lord.
Praise God. Amen.
Hallelujah. We're going to be looking at the book of Ephesians for the next few weeks together. We often, most of the time, will do topical things together. But this week we're going to be looking at, in this next few weeks together, we're actually going to be looking at the book of Ephesians. If you'd like a Bible, there are Bibles in the back, and you can just raise your hand and we'll give one to you. There also should be notes that you have for yourself to follow along. Either one of those will do. And we are encouraging folks to continue to learn and grow in their knowledge of the Word. And so whoever finds Ephesians chapter 1 first, just yell out the page number when you can. Ephesians chapter 1, yell out the page number so that those who are following along with the Scriptures can find it. And again, we also will have it in our notes here. 946, thank you very much. 946, for those who are following along with the Scriptures. A few weeks ago, something very interesting, I found out something very interesting, very unique. There was a gentleman who some of us know who had lived his entire life thinking that he had never graduated from high school, that he had never gotten a high school diploma. You say, Pastor, how is that possible? I don't exactly know how that's possible. But it did happen. This person had lived most of their life, well into their adult years, not thinking that they had not graduated, never received a diploma for high school. And so all the time that people would ask him, he would say, I never graduated from high school. I don't have a high school diploma. Why don't you go to college? Well, I can't go to college because I first have to do this. And a few weeks ago, interestingly enough, he came to see me and he showed me, Pastor, look at this. I've actually had a high school diploma for years. It's been there. It just finally got to me. There was some miscommunications. He had been told wrong. And if you are familiar with the educational systems and things like that, I don't, you know, you may know better than I how that's possible. But he said, I've had the diploma the whole time. My whole life I've actually been a high school graduate, but I've been thinking and living as if I was not. I've been thinking and living as if I didn't have a diploma. I did not have a high school degree. And I'm talking about today because I believe that many of us, there are many things that God wants to give us and things that God wants to bless us. There are diplomas, if you will, that God has asserted into your life and mine, and we're going to look at that in 1 second. But sometimes I live, and maybe you do too, we live our lives, we do our marriage and our parenting, and we go to work and we interact with people, forgetting who we are and what we have in God, and living as if it's just based on our strength of how we can do it. And just like this man had lived his entire life thinking he was less than, when in fact he had a diploma. He could have done all kinds of different things, but he didn't realize it. Because he didn't know it, he did not walk in their reality. Are you with me? He didn't know it, so he didn't walk in their reality. I heard a preacher one time say, what you don't know can kill you. There have been stories of people who see their houses on fire and they run in because they think their family's in there when in fact their families have already escaped. I actually know of a story for a fact. And the person has died in the fire because he didn't know that his family was already okay. So what we don't know, this preacher would say, can kill you. Today we're talking about the benefits, the blessings, the things that we have in Christ. And may we live the rest of our days, you and I together, until the day we die, until Jesus comes back, knowing what we have, the benefits of following Jesus. And so, again, I'm going to follow along here. You can also follow along in your text. The scripture talks about a man who was a persecutor of people from of Christ, who imprisoned Christians, and who even killed them. So I don't know about you. I don't know what your background is. But this guy was a gangster back in his day. And he had kills under him, okay? This guy was... He persecuted Christians, and he imprisoned them, and he even killed some. That man had a transformation in his life, and he's the one who speaks to us today in the book of Ephesians, chapter 1, verse 1. It says, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God. And all I'm going to say here about this is that Paul, who had had a life, he had had a past. Don't raise your hand. Do you have a past? God knows what your past is. And just like Paul, God can transform a man who was a persecutor and an evil and wicked person, transform them into who he wants them to be. Paul knew who he was, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of who? Whose will? The will of God. God had done something. It says, to God's holy people in Ephesus. To God's holy people in Ephesus. The reason why the book is called the book of Ephesians is because the book was written to the people of Ephesus. Are you with me? Amen? And so here's what I want to say about the scriptures in the Bible. The Bible is written to a specific group of people. The Bible is written to Ephesians, it's written to Colossians, to Corinthians, but the scriptures all the way down from history transcend history and get to us. The Bible is written for a people, and that people today are you and me. Amen? Say this out loud. Say, the scriptures were written. Say it again. The scriptures were written for me. And that's what we're talking about today. To God's holy people in Ephesus, God's word comes to a specific people. It's for you and for me today. The faithful in Christ Jesus, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Almost every, if you look through the New Testament and you find different books of the Bible, there's Romans and Corinthians and Philippians, different. Every time that the Apostle Paul wrote one of those letters or one of those books, he begins the letter by saying, greetings to you, grace and peace. Grace and peace. Grace is the unmerited favor of God. Peace is the peace that only God can give. I don't know about you, but I need to hear, when I look into the scriptures, I need someone to greet me, to speak into me, just like Paul spoke into the people of Ephesus, grace and peace. God's unmerited favor can be yours. You can have the peace of God. If you're here and you don't know that you are favored by God, the scriptures calls out to you. Paul speaks to you and says, grace to you. The grace of God is available to you. And he also says, grace and peace. You can have peace. I don't know what your finances are like. I don't know what your relationships are like. I don't know what kind of struggles you're going through. But grace and the peace of God. Jesus said, my peace is not like the world gives. The world gives you peace. Well, I need to pay this bill. I have enough money in my bank account, so I have peace. I can pay them. But if I need to pay this bill and I don't have enough money in my bank account, do you know what I'm talking about? Amen? Something starts happening. And God says, I want to give you my peace, that whether you're doing well or you're struggling, you're going through high times or low times, there's something inside of you that says, God is with me. I'm going to make it grace and peace to you today. Amen? Hallelujah. From God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Praise be, the verse 3 says, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. I'm going to read that one more time. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. The scriptures declare that God has blessed you and blessed me with every spiritual blessing in Christ. This man did not know he had a diploma, but what he should have known is that he had what it took. He had his name stamped and said, you are a graduate. He could have walked his entire life that way. The scripture says that we're not graduates of high school. It says that we have been blessed with every spiritual blessing in Christ. And we're talking about this today, the benefits of following Jesus, because it's so easy for me to forget the benefits, the blessings that I have in Christ. And he tells me here, he has blessed me in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing. The heavenly realms is the realm where God is. When people say, we're going to pray the Our Father, that famous prayer called the Our Father, it starts like this: Our Father who art in heaven. So when God, when the scripture says he's blessing us in the heavenly realms, he's blessing us at the realm where God is. And just so that you know, the realm of heaven is the highest realm there is. I have to talk about this, that in football games, oftentimes coordinators and coaches will sit high. Sometimes they'll be in the sidelines, but some of them will sit high so that they can see everything that's happening. Because the perspective helps you to make better decisions. We serve a Father who is in heaven, who has also blessed you and me in the heavenly realms from a perspective that is bigger than whatever you're going through right now. Amen? He has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms. The first feeling is, I have all the blessings I need in Christ. That's the first feeling. I have all the blessings I need in Christ. And if for some reason you don't have one of the feelings, just raise your hand. One of them will be gotten to you if you need one of those. I have all the blessings I need in Christ. The next scripture says, for he, God, chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. Ephesians 1:4. He chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. The next feeling is this: I have been chosen for something greater in Christ. I have been chosen for something greater in Christ. And oftentimes, the scripture doesn't just say that he chose us just because he wanted to choose us. You know, I don't know about you, but when I was a little kid, I was not the most athletic kid. My older brother was always the best athlete, best at basketball and soccer, volleyball, whatever. And so anytime that we would go and play pickup games in the school or in the yard or whatever around our neighborhood, he would get picked first and I would not. Sometimes I'd be close to last. That's the little brother. He doesn't know. The older brother, he is the athlete. He's the one. But the other, right? And so you know, if you've ever experienced it, that you're sitting there and the captains are choosing, right? They're choosing. And they're like, it's like, okay, you, and you know. I didn't get chosen. I want to be chosen. The scripture says that God, listen to this, that God chose you and me before the creation of the world. You say, Pastor, how is that possible? Well, we believe that God is omniscient. That means he knows everything and he is all powerful. That means he can do anything. So for God, time is not an issue. God lives outside of time. Amen? There's no issues with him. He created us. He chose us before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. I have been chosen for something greater. It's to be holy and blameless. He chose us in him before the creation of the world to be those two things. What's the first one? Holy. And the second one is blameless. To be holy does not mean that you put on a nice robe and you go around saying, ha, 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 ha. That's not what holiness means. Holiness simply means to set apart. It means different. It means I don't do what everybody else is doing because I want to fit in. God has called me to be holy. That means he's called me to set apart. He, in fact, chose me before the creation of the world to not do and not be and not watch and not speak the same things that everybody else is speaking. He wants me to speak differently. He wants me to live a different kind of life. To be holy means to be separate. The scripture says, be holy as God is holy. Be different as he is different. And here's the reality. I cannot be holy in my own strength. It's not like I'm going to wake up and say, okay, I'm going to be holy today. No, it doesn't work that way. Here's how it works. I present myself before God and say, God, please help. I want to, you know, in my natural state, I'm going to do what everybody else is doing. I'm going to go where everybody else is going. But God, I need a touch. I want to be separate. And I want to be blameless. Blameless means nobody can blame you for anything. God, help me to be different. There's a pastor who used to talk to young people, and I was one of those young persons back in the day. I was telling the early service, I just turned 40, so I can't say I'm a young person anymore. Praise God. During that service, though, Brother David Greer says, oh, you're in your prime, and nobody here said that's why I prefer the first service, you know? I'm just kidding. But this pastor would talk to young people, and A lot of them say, well, I follow God. I have a relationship with Jesus. And he says that people, young people would come to him and would ask him about drinking. And he said, be very careful with the whole drinking culture. Young people would tell him, this pastor, and just so you know, the Bible clearly does not say that drinking alcohol is a sin. It does say to get drunk is a sin. And we can talk about that sometime. You probably know this just as I do. One Snickers bar may be okay, but 25 of them might hurt you. Did you know that? In one sitting. Not that I've ever experienced that personally. Of course. But anything in, you know, overdoing it. And so he's talking to young people about drinking. They're like, well, Pastor, the Bible says, talks about drinking in the Bible, and he would bring it up. He would say, there's a scripture in the Bible where Paul tells a young man, stop drinking only water, and drink a little wine because of your stomach problems. Literally is what the scripture says. But the pastor says, but notice it says a little wine. He does not say go have a little party. Oh, you're not feeling too good. Hey, booze it up, man. Go and just empty out the... No, that's not what God says. The scripture says, Paul says, drink a little wine. And what he's saying is, we are called to be different than the world is called to be. Now, there are some folks, whether it's with Snickers bars, pray for me, folks, or whether it's with alcohol, whether it's with drugs, or whether it's, there's some folks that can't have any, because if they have one Snickers bar, they'll have 25, so they just can't do one. No, one is okay. No, for them, one will kill them. For them, one drink will kill them. For them, one hit will kill them. So be very careful. God knows it, and you know. Be very careful. Because God has chosen us not to be the same as the world, but to be holy and blameless. Can I get an amen? That's why He's calling that out. Listen, sometimes I'm not. Sometimes I look like everybody else. But sometimes when I remember who I am, when I remember that God has sealed a diploma with my name on it, what I have in Christ, I don't want to live thinking that I never have what the Bible says I actually have. I want to live that out. And so I'm chosen for a different kind of life. You are chosen for something different. You are chosen to stand out. And with God's help and with God's power, you will not only make a difference in your own life, but in the life of the people around you. Amen? The scripture says, he predestined us for adoption. This is the next verse, 5 and 6. To sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will. To the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. He predestined us. So the next one is this. I have been predestined as a son or a daughter in Christ. To predestine is to, you talk about destiny, right? What's my destiny? What's my end point? What's the dream for my life? God has predetermined the destiny of his followers. Does that make sense? Now, some people get really nervous about this word, and in historical circles in Christianity, many groups say, well, God, because he's already predestined, that means he's already determined who's going to be saved, who is not going to be saved, who is in, and who is out. But this scripture, this is not what this scripture is saying. I want you to see this very clearly. Predestined. Your destiny has been predetermined, but look at this. I'm going to ask you to go up a verse 1 second. The last two words of verse 4 are what? What are the last two words of verse 4? In love. Okay, so I want you to see that. In love, something happens. So this, if you will, verse 5 starts at the end of verse 4. In love, he did what? He predestined. So in love, he predestined. Not in anger, not in wrath, not trying to get back to you. No, in love, God predetermined your destiny and mine. What is that destiny? He predestined us for adoption. Oh, for adoption. Wow. To sonship through Jesus Christ. In accordance with his pleasure and will. Because God, that's how God works. He's a loving God. He wants to have kids. Now, can I just tell you something? Even though God has predetermined that my destiny should be that I would be a son or a daughter, do you know that sons and daughters can run away from home? Did you know that? Do you know that no matter how much I love my kids, it is possible, Lord help never to happen, but it is possible to say, Daddy, Mommy, I don't want to be here anymore. I'm leaving. And they can choose that, but that's not my destiny for my kid. That's not what I want. He predestined us, that's you and me, for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ. Because he wanted to do that. Do you know that your destiny has been predetermined by God? It's for sonship. It's for adoption. Do you know anybody who's been adopted? You don't have to answer. I have a close friend of mine who's a great man, and he calls mom and dad. He talks about them. He was adopted. At some point, they reached out, and they chose him to be their son. And now he gets all the benefits of being their son. Are you with me? He gets part of the inheritance. He gets part of it. He is part of the family. He was not by bloodline. He was adopted. He was chosen. The Bible says that that's the story of you and me. We are chosen by God. He saw us and said, I want that son, that daughter for me. He predestined sons and daughters in Christ. In him, verse 7 and 8, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. Oh, listen to this, you guys. The diploma that my friend got was signed by a principal or an administrator at the school where he went to when he was a young man. The Bible says that we have been purchased, we have been redeemed. To be redeemed is to be bought back. To be redeemed is to be purchased. We have redemption through his what? Through his blood. Now, this is not, most people don't like to talk about this, but here's the reality. Jesus Christ did not just decree that he loved us. He did not just say, well, you're my kids, and now from now on, you're my kids. No, God sent his son to bleed on a rugged cross so that you and I could receive every blessing in the heavenly realms, so that you and I could be chosen, so that you and I could be adopted. He paid for that. So when we make a big deal of Easter and we make a big deal about the story of the passion of the Christ, because that is the story that opens up the gate for you and for me to receive the benefits of being in Christ. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. You and I have been forgiven. We are cleansed. But Pastor, you don't know what I've done. I don't know what you've done. God knows, but here's what I know. It's the blood of Jesus, not yours. It's his work on the cross, not your performance. You know, I make declarations to myself about once a week that come from the scripture. And one of the declarations I say, God, thank you that my relationship with you is not solely based on my performance. Because if it's on my performance, we're in trouble. Can I get an amen? Amen. It is based on his performance for me. I am redeemed by the blood of Christ is the next villain. I am redeemed. I have all the blessings I need in who? In Christ. I have been chosen for something greater in Christ. I have been predestined as a son and daughter in Christ. And then I have been redeemed. I am redeemed by the blood of Christ. People say, well, why does God expect me to live this way? He gave his son, and his son bled so that we can. By his spirit, he empowers us to be holy and blameless. The last verse, two verses. He made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ to be put into effect when the times reached their fulfillment, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. To bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. The last villain is everything comes together in Christ. Everything comes together in Christ. Remember the first verse we read said that God has blessed us in the what realm? In the heavenly realm. We're saying heavenly. He's blessed us in the heavenly realms. And that seems so out of reach. I can't reach the heavens, right? It seems so out of reach. But every promise is in Christ. I want you to see that. In Jesus Christ. Christ means Messiah, the one who would save his people. Every promise is in Christ. And so we've been blessed in the heavenly realms. And I want you to see here at that last verse we just read at the bottom. To bring unity to all things in where? In heaven and on earth. How? 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 Under Christ. Did you know that Jesus was sitting at the right hand of the Father? And he was sent into this planet. He transcended heaven to earth. There's a song that says, you alone are seated on the throne of heaven. Because God is, the Son was seated in the throne of heaven, and he came to this world so he would transcend. Now, what was only available in the heavens can be available here and now. Now what used to be untouchable for us, we can't be holy, we can't be blameless. Now, because of Jesus, we have access to his holiness and to his blamelessness. Amen. He made known the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. Have you, like me sometimes, been walking around thinking that you don't have a diploma? And you kind of felt like, man, I just have this burden, this I'm not as good as, because I don't have what it takes. But the scripture says you have everything that you need for life and godliness. God has blessed us with, in the heavenly realms, with every spiritual blessing. So we can walk with our head high, amen? With our shoulders back, not because of you or me, but because we're kids of the Father. We are blessed. We've been I am a son. You know that when I go to places with my dad and people don't know who I am and they love him and respect him, they'll say nice things to me and they'll treat me nicer because of my dad. And the Bible says that we have a dad in heaven who's adopted us. And so we don't need to live in this planet defeated and always down. We can walk with our head high because our daddy loves us. Our daddy has adopted us. He sent his son and paid the price through blood. We've been redeemed. We've been redeemed. I have all the blessings I need in Christ. I have been chosen for something greater in Christ. I've been predestined as a son or daughter in Christ and redeemed by his blood. And everything comes together in him. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. And we thank you for allowing us today to learn and to grow. Thank you that diploma was signed with the blood of Jesus. It is a mark that will never change, cannot be erased. And we thank you for that.